This is only one of several, however. Mary is also interested in sound vibrations, therefore music is one of our studies, as well as one of our pleasures. And, I wish I could take you out with us sometime when we are far away in the study of astronomy. We can see far more with spirit sight than even the perfected instruments of human wisdom and learning can discern. Then we can travel, as no mortal can conceive, and we can study at first hand some of the problems of other planets and other lives. This is one more activity. But do not think that our studies stop here. The history of life on the other planets, for instance, is very absorbing. If anyone feels impelled to take up any study, he is not held back from progress. No one is limited in time or opportunity. If it can come within the scope of this circle, well and good. If more can be learned elsewhere, the student is free to go. Love and friendship prevail everywhere, and the best good of all is the one idea for all. We have no limits to our hopes nor our opportunities, as I said. Help us from your side to realize and make actual the communication between the two worlds. We spoke one evening of the number in the circle with whom we had talked, and were told there were still some whom we did not know, but who were getting acquainted with us rapidly. We replied rather lightly that we doubted if that profited them much. Mary quickly responded, "If they are satisfied, you ought to be. You can be very nice, and you can be very bad, that is when you doubt us and will not let us come. But we take you as you are, and hope you will take us in the same way. We are not saints by any means, just mortals, with the mortal part mostly eliminated and something a little finer in its place. But this something finer must grow through discipline and education even as it did on Earth, and we are trying to help you to begin your education now, so that you will not have such a weary way to travel here as many Earth lives do. We are here in the room with you and can see you plainly, only we see your soul lives far plainer than your physical ones. But we are glad of that, for so we see the beautiful part of your spirit lives that are coming to us later." We had been told much of the future life, but found we had nothing of life's origin. Our various questions brought out the following: what is life? We do not know. It is. It is like the answer we have to give in regard to the Supreme Deity, it is. That is all we know. God is life, and life is the gift of God. What this most subtle, most unseeable, most elusive, no, we cannot discover it. It simply is. That is all. Some philosophers and scientists may think they know, but they do not. It is the riddle of the universe, and only the creator of the universe holds the secret in his soul. All life is of spirit origin, though manifesting itself in such manifold and even grotesque forms. The wide diversity comes from the material envelope, and in what Darwin called adaptation to environment. Spirit is indestructible, not subject to disease or death. But the earthly form in which for a time it manifests itself, may be subject to all the accidents and disease of mortal existence. I do not know all universes, nor all the ways of life in them, but I think all immortal spirits are always first in human form, and subject to material conditions, and come out of these conditions according to the laws of spiritual evolution. Life here is still progressing to higher forms, and will finally reach a perfection as yet undreamed even by us of the lower planes. I asked about the origin of individual life. Your individual life commenced with your soul or spirit, which holds the germ of immortal life. The germ of that soul may have started far back, even in the animal creation. But germs are not souls and the animal is not the man. For all practical purposes, and for all knowledge of life as we see it, your individual life commenced with your birth. To go back of that leads into such obscurity and confusion that it is hardly worthwhile. This reply did not satisfy our curiosity, and shortly afterward we asked Professor James of our origin. Where were we before birth? He replied rather decidedly, "Give it up. We have to. There is a limit to our knowledge for which we at present ought to be thankful." But we persisted in our query and again asked Mary about individual life. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? What did you hear once of the germ of life and its first entrance into the human? It may have been long on its way, but at last it reached the ultimate of earth existence. I meant a certain individual life. Well, the individual life comes from human lives immediately preceding it, and is perhaps not so much of a spiritual problem as you think, simply the process of creation which is part of the law of human existence laid down for earthly progeny since the beginning of this mortal existence. You mean that it is just a human creation? Just that. It is part of the life germ as it pertains to human existence. I believe that once an individual human life is started, it persists through all eternity. But the subject is so big that I would rather leave it for other teachers to express. The next evening she said, I was thinking of that germ of life proposition, and wish to state it differently. I think that the life force is a part of the individual at all times, and the life force of the parents simply appears in a new expression, the same as seed puts forth plant, leaf, flower, and seed, to spring again in another form, yet bearing the marks of its progenitors. We asked about the continuance of unborn lives. We had been told that they persisted. That is the truth that is generally accepted by us of this plane. But you must remember that we are not conversant with all the problems of all the truths made known to more advanced students. We learn much, but each circle takes up different studies largely of their own choosing. I have not been particularly interested in the query of the whence, as you put it, the whither attracts me more. One evening we asked a teacher from a higher plane to tell us something of life on those planes. We learn of the higher powers and studies, and we are here to tell others what we have learned. This we are always glad to do for those who are truly interested. Come with me and see the life on a higher plane. No jar or discord to mar the perfect joy of life. All are occupied with the perfecting of many new ideas and many new forms of activity, ever-increasing knowledge and joy in service. You know to a certain extent of the occupations, but there are others more ethereal in character given to the more advanced powers. Millions of worlds are needing help, and our higher spirits are sent in as many directions as the needs require. Millions of needs require millions of activities, and teachers are coming and going constantly from world to world, from universe to universe, with helpful forces of thought and spirit control. For in many of the outlying planets mind is not so dense as upon the earth, and the spiritual impression can be sent to the thought to manifest outwardly in action. These teachers are interested in other worlds as they say, but the list evidently includes our own, for one of them spoke as follows, I am here from another plane, and wish to say a few words for earth people to hear. Will you tell them that spirit is the only life, and the nearer they come to spiritualizing the earth life, the nearer they come to us. Will you tell them that the need of the world lies in spiritualizing all earth life, and bringing the Christ love to be the rule of life? To show that we might do more than is done in spiritual development, one of these teachers told us of the power of thought. Thought is the force, the power here that creates. With this marvelous power we can surround ourselves with the environment we wish, create the conditions we wish, and so progress or retard our lives as we wish. The parallel of this power exists in mortal will and mortal thought, and if studied, directed, slash and persistently used, is capable of enlarging all mortal power, increasing all mortal success, and enhancing all mortal happiness. The power of thought through suggestion was spoken of one evening rather unexpectedly. D wrote, there is one here who is listening to words from earth, and he thinks we are not making clear enough the power of spirit to manifest itself upon human character. He says, remember the spirit, the immortal you, is ever present, ever ready to receive suggestion. Have a care, you people of earth, that you do not stifle this voice from heaven, for through the spirit the heavenly life may be begun on earth. But we are told that the spirit is not always good. That is true, yet even then it can be trained to receive the education from here. I would save all criminals, even degenerates, through suggestion to their souls. It can be done, for I tried it while on earth. Are you a hypnotist? No, not that. But once strongly impressed with the power of suggestion, it might be well to hypnotize criminals at first, but the suggestion can be made otherwise. Sleep is nature's way of rendering the human mind passive, and this condition might well be used to bring the soul of the criminal into higher thought. We have been reading a message from that side stating that we are born with quality of consciousness, and some possibly have so little that no improvement is possible? Yes, we know that, too. But that is no reason for supposing that all are lacking quality, and because of this, other environment and other influence should be tried. Will you give this emphasis in your book? Can you tell us who you are? I am a teacher who is studying here as I studied there, the best way of turning evil into good, or rather, effacing evil by good. Did you use suggestion when here? I used it there and had success with it. I belong to the French school of thought at Nancy, and other experimental places. What the work did for the undeveloped and the subnormal and the criminal, I can never forget, and I wish to give it such emphasis from here that it shall gain prominence there. Do you use it on that side? Yes, we use it and we accomplish much, but we lack one condition that the human life has that is a help, and that is sleep. After reading some poetry for a time one evening, Sis took up the pencil, and Mary immediately wrote, "I never read poetry on earth, but you are living poetry now, and so am I. The perfect whole of existence, the final harmony, and the outlook beyond colon it is all so wonderful and so satisfying. You do not comprehend as we do, but your vision is growing and will continue to grow until you are conscious of the perfect plan of existence. You can only see pieces there, and many very poor pieces. But from here we can discern the whole, though we are not yet living the whole of life. Try to live in the glimpses that give you even vague outlines of this life." At another time she spoke further, "The life you are now living is but a shadow of the real comma the earth experience as compared to this life. We are trying to show you the reality, but impressions are hard to give. The impressions you have received are for the most part true. But the reality is so incredibly more beautiful that we cannot make the impression convey to you a true picture of the reality. If the earth people only knew of the riches of the spirit life which they might inherit if they would, the earth life would become spiritualized and all suffering and hardship would end. All realize it at last, but why waste years and years sometimes, many lifetimes even, before they come to the true spirit life? You may think it enough that at last they do come to the truth, but if you could see the wasted lives and wasted time here, you would desire as fervently as we to hasten the day of their spiritual birth. For of a truth, one must be born into the spirit when earth life had so submerged the spirit that it has almost been lost. God is all powerful, we said, why were we not created good to begin with? It is of no use to ask why. We do not know. There are many things that we do not comprehend. But we live in the midst of such advanced and beautiful lives, that we find it easy to trust. Also the teachers from the higher planes help us to realize the infinite progression and the infinite goodness, so we trust and grow happy as we grow in faith. We see what you see of the terrible atrocities and suffering on earth, and help where we can, and trust for the rest. The worst cruelties have their limit. For human life ceases when too hard to be born. And when they arrive here, comma the innocent suffering ones, they are met with peculiar tenderness, and every effort is made to make up to them for the horror and suffering they have endured. We spoke one evening of the difficulty of convincing some who were always putting forth some new theory to account for spirit manifestation. Human mind reasons from the material aspect, and it is hard to overcome the logic of that viewpoint. For the spiritual aspect is so beyond all material conception that the human mind stumbles into false reasoning in trying to judge of its future. That is not as I wish to phrase it, but as near as you can get it now. It is knowledge of the truth that we wish to give you, that the close of the earth life may be filled with joyous anticipation rather than fear. Take life as a heavenly gift, both here and there, and know that leaving that life is only a change from a lower into a higher grade. But with such rich advantages can never be described. Be happy. Let the future be filled with joyous anticipation. Do the good you can there, and be ready to go on doing good here in the happiest possible way, under incomparably happy conditions. I said I knew that it would all be arranged somehow, but I did sometimes wonder how I, who did not like crowds, could manage there, where people seem to form so much of life. We are not obliged to be continually with people, D answered. We meet together for work or teaching, but we may be alone, or with intimate companionship of dear friends when we wish. Nothing is forced on us. We are led to the conditions that are best for our development, and these form our joy as well. You are bound by the knowledge of earthly needs and limitations. But we are free from these and free to choose our occupations. Sissy used to say she would like to be on a cloud and drift slowly through the sky, and something like that still pleasure might be hers here, only not as she expressed it. That was a picture of rest in her mind, and rest was what she needed. The same need or desire here would find perfect fulfillment. That is all. Sis said she enjoyed so many things here, she wondered if she would not miss some of them there. Don't worry. You will find the counterpart of every pure joy here, and in greater measure than we can express. 91. Never fear. All the joys that you have there will only be intensified here. Sis asked if she would be able to enjoy these at first, or would she be some time in learning. Mary says, there are some things that you will have to wait to understand, but you must take our word for it that they exist. Dee has told you that she has never a regret for the earth life and the beauty she left there. All is more than equaled here. Let this fill your heart and mind with joy. We had been reading a description of the spirit life that did not appeal to us. It was given as a symbolic vision. Mary replied to our inquiries, your thought brings you the truth that appeals to you, but it is the truth just the same. Heaven is an unlimited space and there is room for many ideals. But you will be happier if you hold fast to the truth that appeals to you, for it is the truth. Never doubt that. Many here express truth pictorially or symbolically, but the real truth is the word that describes the life without embellishment or picture. The book you speak of will attract a certain type of mind, yet other minds would be repelled by such a description. Each in his own way, can you not see? No matter how earth people are drawn into the spirit comprehension, whether by symbol, poetic fancy, or simple description, it will be all right when they arrive here. We are telling you the simple truth, and you may take it to your inmost heart and take the comfort of it. You will never be disappointed, while some others may have to begin all over again in their comprehension of this life. Sis and I were talking one evening about the life there, and of the difficulty of our finite minds grasping it. When the writing was begun, Dee said, you get now and then vague ideas or pictures of the comfort and pleasure of this life, but the reality has not entered into your real understanding yet. Sissy is afraid she will have to go on to a higher plane when she doesn't wish to, is afraid she will not be quite contented here, and will miss some of the surroundings or friends or pleasures of the earth life. She will not. That is all I can say. Sis laughingly replied that she would miss the picnics. You can have one then. You are a bad child and don't deserve all you will get. But it will be yours anyway, picnic and all. Many people have communicated with us, and through the pencil to others. One who passed over as an old man was talking with his grandson. Closing the conversation he said, the tie between the two worlds, or rather the one world of the seen and the unseen, grows closer as the years go by. I did not know much about this life when there, but I imagined more than I knew. The normal life here was a surprise, for I had thought of angels with wings and harps, and heaven as a city of golden streets. But nothing of the kind is here. Normal progression, friends, work, service for others, yes. Happiness, in travel, music, books, and congenial companions. It is all normal and all true. It is worth working for there. And all the work is simply to have high ideals and live up to them. The golden rule is no dead letter. Be sure of that. I spoke one evening of that being my birthday. Mary responded, what of it? You will have millions of them. Then in a moment she went on, we are not thinking of birth at all. It is always the present here. No looking forward to old age and decrepitude of either mind or body. The future is ours, the present is ours. How different from the half-fear of the future, the dread of the years that may bring hardships, the looking forward to the silence of the grave, and the terror of the future. Can you see? I was not happy on earth, but I feared the end of that life, and had rather a morbid terror of death. Will you see the difference now? Nothing to fear, neither sickness, poverty, age nor death. Why count the years, when each passing one will only add to your happiness and power, and preserve forever both youth and beauty? Goodbye to birthdays, greet the future with joy that will take no cognizance of years. X. The negative aspect of probably. A very few people have really tried to analyze the conditions, and tried to determine what activities and occupations engage the time and attention of the inhabitants of the spirit world. When one realizes that there are no material bodily requirements whatever in the spirit life, and when one really comprehends what a gap would be left in our life here if all such activities were unnecessary, it opens up a whole new field of thought. The subject of what one would not find or need the comma what one might call the negative aspect of spirit life comma was brought up for Mary's comments, and a copy of our record for that evening is here given. Sis and I had talked of it a little, and when I turned to Mary, I said, in the first place, you have no day and no night, and no divisions of time. No day and no night and no divisions of time, you say. We have the divisions of work and study and recreation and quiet hours or times for ourselves. Do you not divide your days by actions rather more than you think? There are the meal times, the work times, the play times, and the resting times. That is very similar to our divisions. Yes, but you do not reckon time by hours and minutes. Hardly. We have a system or order of work and study, though what you call hours and minutes are not so counted by us. The divisions of time are not arbitrary, but I am thinking how to tell you of the orderly way in which we work. Perhaps if I call it, this by way of illustration, a central office, where the plans of work are arranged and messengers sent to us when we are needed, it may help you little. Well, again, you have no need for food, and so no rivalry in obtaining it, no buying or selling, no business of any kind, no money, no medium of exchange. We are as busy as you. We exchange many things, which might be called barter. For instance, I study something I wish to perfect myself in, and teach, perhaps, my very teacher in some other branch. We exchange many things, sometimes work, sometimes ideas, sometimes the many acts of love or friendliness, but all without your medium of exchange, money. We have love instead, or, if to those we do not know, whatever courtesy suggests. So you see we have a busy trading system, and enjoy it too, and no one becomes bankrupt. Sis said it was very difficult for her to realize that there would be no desire to eat or sleep. You will never miss either. Instead, you will be delighted that the sordid occupations of life do not interfere with your progress. So much of life here is made up of chasing the dollar with which to buy food and comfort, it would seem that many people would be completely lost over there. What will a banker do there, for instance? Will you know that his training there will not be lost here? He may not handle money, but there are many other ways in which that trained accuracy will be of service. Then, your travel is so different. You have no railroads, no trains, no automobiles, no airplanes, no steamships. Wait till you come and we take you on a trip to some far-off place. The mode of travel will be as much finer, as your Cadillac is finer than a wheelbarrow. Having no need of the things that money buys, there can be with you no jealousies because of place or position attained by material blessings. They who serve most are the greatest here. There is no computing of place or position except by service or wisdom. Service may be of the intelligence, or of the spiritual gifts, or the more common activities, but the wiser the service, or the more loving and unselfish the giving of oneself : these are the things that give prominence in spirit life. You have no thieves or robbers, and no need for insurance policies. We have the unworthy ones to guide and the wicked ones to convert, and the time and patience given to this work is more than any occupation on earth would probably demand. The unworthy ones are always with us, therefore that work is never done. I said they had no color line, therefore no race prejudice, and Sis asked if spirits were always white. Not that exactly, but spirit is not black or red or yellow or brown. It is spirit, that is all. When we read this later, Mary corrected it by saying, that would seem to make spirit a colorless substance. That would be quite the opposite of the truth. Spirit is white, in a way, because spirit represents truth, beauty, and nobility of character. The character determines the exterior, and purity of soul expresses itself in purity of appearance. Then, as you have remarked several times, you have no care of the house or clothing or person. It makes us almost weary to think of all these things, but your list has brought to our attention our freedom and our joys. We become so accustomed to our blessings that we perhaps forget a little, and it is good to be reminded. But, Mary, what are the youngsters going to do? There are no games of football, no baseball, no tennis, no golf, no billiards, no card playing. Don't you worry. There are pleasures beyond these, and there are delightful occupations that take the time. Sis spoke of the wonders of mountain scenery here, and asked if any such would be there. What did you hear from the college professor in regard to the desires of life here? Were you not to see the rugged and the grand, as well as the quiet beauty of Valiant Stream? He is right, and there will be no disappointment for you. But the snowy mountain ranges here have an attraction just because we cannot easily reach them. Dee could there go in an instant to anything she wanted to see. She would not be impressed in the way you would sense it, but it would impress her, nevertheless. You can look into fathomless space here as well as there. You can see infinite distance, and the evidences of infinite power. And you can see the wonderlands of strange planets. Sis then spoke of the Spanish dances and the play of color in the mission play which we had just seen. Will you try to imagine the grace and beauty of motion that is without fatigue, dress fairer than any the world has seen, beauty of person, of dress, of motion, and all, without vanity or selfishness? You cannot get beyond earth comparisons, I know, but if your spirit sight could be clear for 1 minute even, you would never again believe that heaven can lose by comparison with the joys or the beauties of the world. Well, we have covered the ground fairly well with the negative illustrations, though no doubt it could be elaborated almost endlessly. We think you are answered in a way, but 1/2 hour of vision, yes, even 1/2 minute, would be more convincing. 11. Study and teaching. The joy of acquiring knowledge is one of the delights of this life. We never tire of learning, for we love knowledge too much. It is only earth weariness that may hinder you. We learn of the stars and all the elements that compose the stars. Then all the diversified lives on the millions of planets surrounding the stars, all the products and combinations of chemical action, all the history of life from its lowest forms upward, light, electricity, sound waves, musical vibrations and the harmonies resulting therefrom. All that is beautiful in the world of art or in the world of literature. Of course not all these are studied at once nor by the same person. Many pleasures are here also, for there are many varieties of minds and many conditions to meet. In pleasures the reunion of friends and relatives must be counted. And there is the delight of loving friendship, and companionship higher and finer and more enduring than worldly ties. We have concerts of music that would delight your soul. And wit and eloquence are as much valued here as there. Then there is travel, for we can move slowly or fast as we choose. Can you realize the interests that fill our lives? Variety of occupation, all forms of beauty, friendships more dear than earth can ever know, ever-increasing knowledge, music such as mortals cannot conceive, all that heart can wish or mind enjoy. If the soul asks for more, we turn to those of the next higher plane, and are given what we desire. We in turn try to help others to reach their ideals, and we are wishing now to make known to the dwellers on earth, the happy existence here, that death may lose its sting and the grave its victory. All knowledge here is acquired with ease, and all the spirit functions of sight, hearing and memory are vastly in advance of the earthly ability, and there is no limit to knowledge or happiness. After character has been established, we study for knowledge of the earth from which we here all come, knowledge of the conditions there, and ways of improving those conditions. Then the knowledge of higher spiritual activities and the power that this knowledge gives, knowledge to be used for other lives, sometimes on earth, sometimes on other planets. After this, still increasing knowledge and still increasing power for good, always giving out. Do not forget that knowledge is to be used for others. The education of the soul is very complex. It has to grow in so many directions that no one description can make it plain to you. First the sight, then the hearing. Of course, these are the mediums through which knowledge is received.